We all appreciate everybody coming out tonight to listen to this productive and constructive conversation amongst friends. I'm going to introduce Van and Rachel first, and then they're going to introduce their special guests. So without further ado, Van Lathan Jr. and Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
What's you guys' names? Hold on real quick.
No, this ain't a comedy show. Ooh. Now stop.
What are your names? Embry? You're Bree? And I was going to guess like Dan or something. You guys are sitting in the front here at the Reparations Club.
Thank you for being here. Yeah. Thank you for your support. Y'all give it up for Sweet Booty.
Yeah, he don't like it.
Sweet Booty Beecham.
He doesn't like it.
He forgot to say his full name. Y'all give it up for Sweet Booty.
Why I gotta sit in the back in the Reparations Club? I feel you, brother. We'll talk after the phone. Thank you guys for being here. Donnie, Sweet Booty Beecham. Chelsea, Chloe the Alien. Look at Chloe over there. Where's Ashley at?
Ashley's right back here.
Ashley's in the back. Hey, Ashley. You guys, it's the Summit of the Sexes. We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
The day is here.
The day is here.
Are y'all ready?
So it's important. We want to say something real quick. This is the Summit of the Sexes. It's not the Battle of the Sexes. I see some of y'all right now, and y'all been hurt, and y'all waiting to see people get into it up here. But like, what we're trying to do is ask questions and have conversations.
You
right?
actually think that's going to happen? We are going to start off asking questions, but I feel like there's going to be a battle.
See how she always wants us? She wants
to
fight.
But we're moderating.
Right now.
We brought other people to battle it.
It's
out.
True.
I'm it not, might be us.
So all of y'all to be on the Reddit talking about me and all of my toxic stuff.
Who's
I'm
on
not
the
even
Reddit?
Going. I'm not. Name somebody. Who's raise your hand if you're on the Reddit.
Who's on the Reddit? That's okay. We don't. That is a lie.
That's some
I can
of y'all
tell
on
the
it.
Smiles on the faces.
Some of y'all on it. But yeah. So for us. It's really just about kind of bridging the gap and really seeing if a lot of these issues that get overblown or blown up on social media, if there are real perspectives or if people just showing out. That's how I feel.
Yeah. And I think this is a safe place to hash it out because we can only do so much with each other. And we thought, you know what? Let's bring it to the Thought Warriors.
Absolutely.
Let's bring it to everybody else. So without further ado, should we bring out our guests?
Sure. I'm going to introduce my dudes one at a time.
Okay, go
because
ahead.
I don't want them to come out together because they don't like that kind of thing. So you guys hear me talking about the Player Proof crew. First of all, shout out to my boy Ryan back there. Ryan, say what up. That's my oldest friend in the world. I don't give a fuck about that nigga. Hold on real quick. Oh my God. Damn.
It's Ryan, stand up.
Whoa,
Ryan stand up.
Bro.
It's because you didn't stand up. Stand
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
thank
Ryan.
You. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, Ryan.
Jesus Christ. I met him in first grade. That's a long time. All right, first, my boy Ian, Player Proof Crew. Ian, come out here and say what up to everybody. Look, it's Ian. Ian is a newlywed. His beautiful wife, Daisha, is here. Yeah, you sit wherever side. You want right here.
No, we're bringing different energy over here. Don't try to sit on this side.
Yeah. Right, you're going to go ahead and introduce. Let's do it like it's the, do it one by one.
Okay,
like yeah.
You can do it one on one. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am bringing to the stage my, not just my sorority sister, my line sister who came all the way from Houston, H-Town, Texas, Shannon Stokes. She's in the building. She's going to bring all the energy. We rode here listening to all the angry music to get ready for this. We are ready to go. She's an attorney as well. University of Texas in the building. It's my line sister, Shannon Stokes.
Well, start knows won't be knows.
Yeah, Ian, you got to. Ian is a pharmaceutical. He got to make a lot of money. Like, we're going to give people a whole LinkedIn.
Relax.
Then, yeah, so he tried to outdo me. Gino, Walter Gino McLaughlin from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He is a social community activist dude. He a Kappa. Look at him. Look at him. No, you're right here, man. Sit down. Say what up to everybody. How you doing, bro? It's good to
What's
see
happening,
you.
What's happening, y'all? What's
going on? I see. That's the whole squad, man. Fear them.
Okay.
Fear them.
Well, I'm not done.
Fear them.
Because coming to the stage, last but not least, none other than Nina Parker. You are familiar with her. I could list out a laundry list of all the things that she represents.
She's a star.
Van may have known her first, but she's my friend today, and she's here to represent also a fellow soror from Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Shout out to you.
That's right.
I can't even hate.
Yes, you know, I know Van first, but you keep in touch.
And we're ready to go. Let's go.
Okay, we're doing it. It started.
I get Nina put me on. I'm not even gonna lie. Before we even get started, Nina put me on. I was at TMZ. It was like a lion's den of angry, weird whites. And Nina took me under her wing. I'm serious. I probably would not be here right now if not for Nina Park. Give it up for Nina Park. Nina put me on.
That's true. Absolutely.
I got to tell you guys a story really quick. The TMZ's tours had not started yet. Van had started doing the TMZ tours. I don't think he even remembers this story. So they were taking the staff to like do test runs. And at the time, I had been on the show for maybe like a couple of years. And I remember Van goes, how does it feel to be on TV every day?
Yeah.
And I come up to him and I say this sometimes because I'm like, how you feel now? Because he came in, he had all this really good energy and people weren't speaking.
No one was talking to me.
People don't speak when you first start there.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, black man, like let's have a conversation about how to get it on over here.
And
so.
Sometimes when I would get like a little bit outside of myself, she'd be like, come on. We don't need you to dance for him. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, look, a lot of things that we could talk about, but I want to start with some of the recent conversations we've had on the show, specifically around wants and needs. Rachel, remember this conversation that we...
How could I not?
Meg Thee Stallion said that she did not need a black man, but that she wanted a black man. Want over need. And Rachel, do you remember your perspective on this? Of course you do.
Yeah. And to add to it, you just sent this in today. Kiki Palmer just got on stage and said that she didn't need a man. She needs a back.
Okay.
Now, I don't have a problem. I think we're focusing too much, and I said this on the podcast, we're focusing too much on the words. I think it is beautiful to want something. I think that it is beautiful to desire, to choose that. You make that choice. There's power in that, and you disagree with me.
I did. I think the need is very important. I think the need demonstrates intent and what the goals are. Fellas, how do y'all feel about not being needed? Y'all come or take it or leave it. Y'all need to go fight war or whatever, but they don't want y'all around. How's that feel?
I'm trying to decide how toxic I need to be. No,
gosh.
I'm saying.
Your true self.
I feel like that's ready. Why we're here, right?
Take the mask off.
And but with the lean back dog, that was weird, bro.
Yeah, did you see it? Yeah.
I was trying to get comfortable. So for me, I disagree, right? So I definitely believe that I do need a black woman. I need a woman, period, right? First of all, just in terms of community, none of this exists without y'all, right? And so this community, this space that we're in right now, which is really dope, right, really vibrant, it's because of the kinship that we share. It's because of the relational value that we have within our community. And so even if we're talking about a relationship with myself and a woman, I need that woman. Right. I need her support. I need her. Like my days don't like if I'm with a woman, I'm with you. Right. And so you set the tone for my day. You set the tone for how the household runs. Right. And so I can't see within the context of relationship me devaluing that. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. Right. I just can't see myself devaluing that. And then also, too, just in terms of relationship, I can't see myself not needing a woman because, you know, I need a woman. You feel what I'm talking about? You feel what I'm talking about?
Because y'all don't be knowing what to do.
But
y'all don't know how to do stuff sometimes.
Look, you're man enough to say that you need a woman. I'm man enough to say the same thing. I think about songs like from Anita Baker, like Giving You the Best That I Got.
Oh, he R&B.
On that song, right. On like the first line is there anything I can give you?
Come on.
because of what you've given to me.
Just sing it.
Don't is sing it.
We ain't gonna do that. No, listen. But real talk, but that opening line right there, like, it's so powerful of the era of women. You know, that song, the song came out, what, in 86, 87. So the women thought differently then. And I think women prepared a household, prepared a family. They were business women. They were so many different things. And men value that. We value that. So I think this generation, you bringing up Kiki and Megan, they are examples for the new generation. So what are they setting? What tone are they setting? You know, I don't think that's cool across the board.
What tone? I mean, these are powerful, successful, amazing women. I think there's yeah, Anita Baker is too. When she not arguing babyface. But I think these are women who, you know, things are different now. I think more than ever, there have been blurred lines when it comes to roles. I don't think there's ever been a time where there have been, you know, a lot of the switching of the roles, and where it hasn't been as big of a deal either. You know, I know a lot of women who take care of the household and the man stays home. And I think whatever decide to make within your home is your business. So I think when we see men who are talking about, like Kiki's man, who leans into like, well, she needs to be a traditional woman, he's not a traditional man. So if you want to lead, be a leader.
Does he use those words like, she needs to be a traditional woman?
He didn't have to.
No.
Yeah. What he was saying,
he didn't have to. He said, you a mom.
He was playing into certain stereotypes that are placed on
him. He wants her
to
stick to a certain role, but he's not.
Do you feel that, what do you think about specifically what Megan and Kiki had to say, want versus need? Did you have a problem with Kiki or Megan saying that they don't need a man? Because what Megan said was, I don't need a man, but we want you. And see, I thought that was beautiful the way that she phrased it.
I think that people are taking it too literal. I think that, you know, I am a believer we're not meant to do life alone. So I do believe that we all need each other. But it's obvious, like what Nina was saying, that in today's society, we've been taught, our generation, to be able to take care of ourselves. But that is, you know, I believe in, you know, self-actualization, right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And love is on there, right? But at first, it's like safety. You know, there's like three other levels before you get there. So it's like you have to have a baseline level of being self-sufficiency and being able to take care of yourself before you can get to the point that you are loving yourself and offering your love to someone else. I don't think that you should approach partnership from a place of need. And I think that that's what they were trying to explain. Like, they can take care of themselves and they are choosing the men that they're choosing.
You have to consider what somebody is going through and we all go through phases. Megan is young. She's dating. She's fresh out of a long-term relationship. She's single right now. She's giving off single girl energy, single boss girl energy. Kiki is clearly going through something in her relationship. So right now her focus is probably her child and her bag, mm-hmm. the things that she can control. So I think you have to consider your source. If you're speaking to somebody who's married, that may be a different conversation. Do any of us need somebody? Or, you know, probably not. We could probably all be fine.
I think we actually do need.
No, I don't agree with that. I think, could we live this life without somebody else? Have people done it? Sure. So I do agree with the statement that, do I need this? Probably not. But do I want it so bad that it becomes kind of a need? Yes.
But imagine we're together, right? And I say to you,
wait a minute now.
No, you know, follow me now for a second,
wait a minute,
right?
Gino.
So imagine I turn to you. Imagine I turn to you. Almost like Toxic Martin, right? When he looked at Gina, he was like, damn, Gina, I will marry you. Imagine me turning to you and say, you know, you are nice to have, you know, but I don't really need you. You're nice to have, though.
The framing, though, why does the framing have to be so black or white? Why do you guys take it like a hair, nigga? That's not what it is. What she's saying.
So this is what I'll say is the reason why I look at it as kind of like I look at it through a different lens. So obviously in your singular interpersonal relationship, right, everything is a want or a need besides, you know, food and all of that stuff, right? But if we're thinking about what we want to do as a collective, not black person, but black people, the question then becomes, what's the calculus to that? Like, what's the calculus to us having the most stable, the safest, the most economically sound, the most vibrant community? And that to me begins with the black family. that begins with the unit of people that can rely on each other in the house. And so to me, the need, sisters can do it by themselves. And unfortunately, if we're being honest, they've had to do it by themselves far too often. Sure. But the need comes from, we need to have a situation where black, young black boys understand the value of their mothers and their sisters, and they're taught that by men. We need to have situations where where women have someone to be there for them postpartum. Where they have someone to be there with them while they're pregnant. Like, those things are needs that make us better. And to say that we don't need them, but we want them, to me, sometimes undercuts the seriousness of the situation that we're in America. If I was going to throw that in, that's kind of what I would say.
And I would just say, that's why I say it's more powerful to want, because we're all agreeing that, you know, we're in a different place in society and the way that the dynamic is with men and women. And we don't necessarily need that. I get what you're saying, but we don't need, like, we could do it on our own, but because we don't need it, but we want it. Doesn't that sound more powerful?
No.
And also, it doesn't make headlines when a man says it, because I mean, how many rap lyrics do we hear all the time who are saying, like, they don't need women.
And they won't.
It's shown.
And they
okay,
won't.
But what I'm saying is, when women say it, we speak up about it, but I don't think it makes as much headline at all. But when a woman makes those types of statements, you know, and we talk about the black family, there's no, we don't know if Meg or Kiki will end up with a black man.
I mean, no, they might not. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying to that situation, I'm not going to, but I guess what I'm saying to that situation is, it's not about whether or not they will end up with a black man. It's about, to me, what's my vision of a healthy black community, right? And so, to be real with you, and we talked about this on the podcast, for far too long, men have devalued, debased, and subtracted themselves away from black women. We Absolutely. Know that, right? And in the songs, that happens a lot. I will say this, though. If there is a guy who is either speaking extemporaneously or in an interview, and he takes a direct shot at black women, I don't know why the beat changes it, because they do it every time they drop, but the retribution is swift. And I'm telling you right now, if that's an interview, let's say that that's an interview with, I don't know, give me somebody that's on Meg's level, not the nigga that went to jail. But anyway, if that's, and he says, you know, we don't really, huh? If it was Drake, the eyes of the ladies in the world would bleed. If Drake goes, you know, I want a black woman, but I don't need one. That is going to be a nuclear
bomb.
She
didn't say black men. If he would have said, if Drake did an interview where he says, yeah, which, by the way, I think Drake has done songs where he says, I only love my bed and my mama. I'm sorry. True. Like, Drake often says he doesn't need.
Well, she was at the Essence Fest, so she was talking to niggas.
Let me tell you something. Right. For the way that people were talking to Meg during this trial, they lucky she didn't say other things.
Yeah, work.
That's fine. You lucky that's all she said.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of black men who were not defending Meg publicly.
But it's a lot that
public
word,
figures.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
that
Meg would have a reason to feel the way she feels in this moment on that stage. And I'm surprised she didn't get on the pulpit and say more.
Mm. Yeah, but she was with a boy. She was not with a man. In that scenario, and this, he's, you know, straight clown. But in respect, there's a lot of men that were definitely standing up for Meg in terms of what happened to her. So that doesn't give her an opportunity to just go out there. Well, she can say what she wants to say. But in saying that, that doesn't mean that there's no backlash that's not, you know, that's deserved. I just, you know.
Well, I'm just saying that she has a right to the support for her, in my opinion, publicly, was way more heavy on black women and women in general.
The problem is,
and I feel like, yeah, absolutely.
But her voice is so powerful. She's so many young women are looking up to her. And again, I use that Anita Baker reference in terms of talking about back in the day. She is now, like, women like Meg Thee Stallion are those figures today. So there are young women looking at her and what she's saying, and they're going to look at that like, that's the way I need to be. And ultimately, that is to the detriment of our community.
I guess I feel like we're just missing something. We'll move on to the next topic because we have other things to cover. But if Meg had stood up there and said, we don't need y'all, and kept it moving, it would have been a total, I could see everything that y'all were saying. So she's saying you can be self-sufficient, you can be independent, you can be all these things, but we still want y'all. We still desire to have y'all in our life despite everything else. I think,
can I be all the way real? I'll be all the way real. The biggest thing that bothers me about it is we all know it's not true. But, like, we know y'all don't mean it. We know that it's a rallying cry, 100%. That it's something that Meg, we know y'all don't mean it. Because
you
don't mean
but is it part of
it? Like, we like,
mean?
We,
what, we I love
the,
like,
the, that you guys don't need.
Tell us what we need, man.
Look. No. What I'm telling you is this, and it's interesting, right? Because I make my whole life I have conversations. And so in a conversation, you listen to somebody or you watch somebody. Like time after time after time after time, do a thing. And then they turn around and they say that the thing that they're doing it for a completely different reason than why you see them doing it. So I listen to Black women all week, day long, talking about how much they need Black men to step up, how much they need Black men to be present, how much they need Black men to be involved, how much they need Black men to be economically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. And then by that same flip side, and then what I do is I go to other Black men and I say, hey, your sisters need you. They need you to do these things. When there is a tape of a young man assaulting a woman, I'm like, that's our fault. They need us. When women can't get what they need economically, whatever, we have to be better. They need us. Then after all of that, of watching that, of being in emotionally and intellectually informed by Black women, the hole that is left in their lives because of the absence of Black men, then it's like, but we don't. And so, like, to me, I'm not in any way trying to speak for Black women. I apologize if it came out like that. But what I'm saying is, when y'all do speak, I hear y'all, and I hear what you say. And then when the pivot comes, I'm like, I don't think that's constructive. And I understand that might be the way she feels, and she has an emotional sort of edict to feel that way. But still, I'm like, that's not where we're trying to go. That's not where I'm trying to bring the Black men that I lead. I'm not trying to bring them to a situation where a Black woman is a take it or leave it. It makes my life better. Nah, I want you to need to choose her, and I want you to need to be better. Kalika's here right now. Like, Kalika's in the back, right? And we have had a relationship that's had high highs and really low lows. But I think sometimes the thing that keeps us together is this feeling that, like, this Jenga puzzle makes sense, that we're supposed to be together. And that's kind of when I felt that from her, it's just like, it was emotionally unfamiliar to me.
Did you feel insulted by what she said?
No, because I don't need her. I'm just joking. No, I didn't feel insulted. I just felt...
Okay, in listening to what you just said, everything, you did feel insulted. You did.
It feels like you were...
Yes. Now, who's speaking like for who?
But also, we're listening.
But I was saying, also, I mean, everything that you're saying is all the reasons why she's saying, if we're saying Black men, if the Black men don't have those things where they're right within themselves, she is saying, we don't need you if it requires us to sacrifice ourselves, right? So she's saying, if I'm already here where I'm able to provide for myself, I have, you know, and I'm seeking the emotional support, just like what you had mentioned. That's what she's saying. Like, I am taking care of myself, right? But what we need is for you to step it up, just like you're saying.
But I think
that's where it's coming from, right?
Isn't that inherent, though? Like, we are born to take care of ourselves, right? Like, so we show up here as individuals, first and foremost, right? And so whether it's entering a relationship or even it's just the community, we are here as individuals, first and foremost. So we know that we can take care of ourselves. We don't need, none of us technically need each other, right? To be human, right? My existence does not depend on whether or not, you know, you're there or not. However, the value that is inherent is also, I mean, as humans, right, we are relational. And so I need human connection, Black, white, whatever. I need human connection, but also within this relationship that we share, this kinship that we share in this community, I need y'all. And in a relationship, Black woman, I need you, right? And I also want to be wanted too. Now, I didn't take it personal. Definitely didn't take it personal, but because she wasn't talking about me, because she would need me too. But my point is, but my point is, though, within this dynamic that we share, I want to be needed. And if it's off at all, I'm going to choose somebody that does need me in some sort of way, not monetarily, not, you know, she
need you.
Yeah, she needs me.
Y'all,
yeah,
y'all
yeah.
need to, y'all just need to be needed. That's I feel like I want to be needed.
Really, for sure.
Y'all just really need
to be needed.
Y'all, I feel like men really need to be told that they are needed. I feel like that is
true.
The yeah. framing of that, mm-hmm. you really need to hear that. But I, speaking as a Black woman, I felt like Meg was a little bit, and I can only speak for myself and the Black women that I know and that I communicate with. For me, a little bit of it sounded like she was talking from a place of personal and maybe from disappointment, because I think, you know, when you were talking about the community and how Black women need Black men to do all of the things that you listed, I can also list a lot of instances where they just didn't show up in droves.
They don't.
And where sure. Black women had to, and the saying like Black women have to do everything didn't come from no place. It came from a place where a lot of times the only people that were speaking up, that were taking a stand, were Black women. And if we're speaking mm-hmm. specifically about Meg's situation, Black women believed her from jump and the majority of, because obviously there are people who didn't. But there were a lot of Black men who I would see, well, we need to see the evidence, we need to hear this, or mm-hmm. there were clear things that just happened where people still were hesitant to support. And I'm only speaking from her instance because she's mm-hmm. the one who talked about it. But I think a lot of times when you get disappointed in general, you start to be like, okay, I don't need this. This is something I want, because when I needed you, you did not show up for me.
It's a survival tactic.
It's a survival tactic.
Okay, so, I feel like I'm gonna put a little vulnerability out there right now. Ryan, Gino, and Ian. All right, y'all all know the relationships that I had with women back in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Black ladies.
Yeah, very clear.
Yeah. How did these women treat me?
Which one? Right, like,
let me be real. I was a guy, I was much bigger than I was right now. Yeah. I was not the nigga. And to be honest with you, I'm just being for real. I got treated like shit. There was always some other dude that was better, that was in a better situation, that was more like, I'm the kind of guy that I would study with you. I would help you with your homework. I would do whatever I had to do. Persistence. I would wait you out through a couple of these Kappa niggas.
You're wearing
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would wait you out through a couple of these Kappa niggas and do the thing. That doesn't give me the right to, for the rest of my life, like look exactly. at Black women and say that they ain't shit. Exactly. I'm sorry. Like I have to.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I understand that there is disappointment. I understand that things like that happen. But I'm telling you that, like, I think a lot of men get into the situation to where they really keep that energy. They keep the energy of, you know, when I wasn't on, there was always somebody better. When I didn't have this, there was always somebody better. And then when they get on, they batter Black ladies for a long, long time. And what I'm telling you is, for me personally, I understand that people might have been disappointed with one Black man after another Black man after another Black man. But like, there's a degree to it that I don't understand why we continue to judge people by like the sins of past people, because everybody could do that.
So I don't think it's just coming from disappointment. I think it's also like our generation, we're all generally the same age, and we are the generation that is focused on trying to break generational curses, right? So it's like, I can say, you know, on both sides of my family, there are marriages, strong male figures and female figures who still told me, be able to take care of yourself. And that was out of need, because in the 80s and 90s, little Black girls, like, we were taught we needed to be able to take care of ourselves. So I agree. I think this conversation is important because I hear what you're saying. Like, I think Megan was coming from a place of like a flex, but I could see where you're saying that it's counterproductive, but that's something that we have to unlearn, because we have a lifetime of being told, get the best grades, get the house, pay off your loans, do everything to be able to take care of yourself, and then find your partner. So we do all of these things and we're trying to find our partner. Like, I have a friend who told me she feels like she's being punished for taking care of herself. You know, so like, what is that saying? You know, it's like, if you were your sisters, your daughters, don't you want them to be able to take care of themselves?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah.
Right to the next topic.
Yeah, this
power dynamics, breadwinners. So that was a natural segue. Ian and Gino, would you guys be able to be in a situation where a woman that made more money than y'all told y'all niggas, clean your shit up and come in here and make some breakfast? How?
You want to take that first?
Get to work.
Gotcha. Grown man, so first of all, don't talk to me like that.
First
however, yeah. However, you know, in this change in dynamic that we have, right, with women.
This nigga sound like Steve Jobs.
No, no.
In the changing cultural landscape.
I want to see where he's going with this.
So the reality is, you know, we're in modern times, right? And so I know how to take care of myself. What does that mean, right? I know how to do dishes. I know how to do everything that a woman, the old labels that woman that women are given, right? And so when I enter into a relationship, guess what? Half the things that I already did for myself, I'm going to continue to do those things within the context of relationship. Absolutely. Why? Because it's also going to lighten the load for her. There are no expectations that I have on her that I don't already have for myself, right? So when it comes to the monetary thing, which is the tricky part, I'm going to keep it real.
Yeah,
keep
I'm
it
like,
funky.
Get to it.
keep it funky. Because, look, you know, we all see the memes. We all see the toxic memes, right? So I don't know if it's Justin or, you know, what's the poet girl? It's a whole
what
bunch
do
of toxic.
You think, Gino?
I think that women can't have it both ways, right? You can't have it both ways in the sense that you tell a man that your only value is tied to the amount of money that you make, but at the same time, give me all your money. And at the same time, we really don't need you, right? And so if I'm expected to be this modern man that is conscious of, you know, these shared responsibilities, then guess what? You also gonna have to come into modern times as well and share a little bit of this other.
What if she's making more? So you get into a
relationship.
She's
making more, that's cool. I'm good with that, but you better be good with that too, though.
Okay.
If I have to be good with that, right? And shrink a bit of my ego, which is tough to do. If I gotta tuck my chain in, right?
But would it hurt your ego if your woman made more than you?
It wouldn't hurt my ego at all. I mean, I do pretty well. So if my woman's making more than me, we up.
We up.
Straight up. So, I mean, my wife does, you know, she's a career woman. She's a nurse and she, you know, we have a business and she helps me run that business. And I actually have a few businesses, but in that space, I need her help with that. So, but if she, we have another thing that we're investing in for her that will be her own thing. And I hope it is one that makes us even more money. But if she made more money than me, I'm okay with that. Like it doesn't make me feel small at all. No, because I'm it's not like I'm broke. So if I make $20,000 and my woman's making $300,000, I could still be with her because I can learn something from her. But in the sense of where we are in terms of where we're living right now, if my woman made more than me, I would be happy with that.
I have not had this experience at all.
Bullshit.
I know things about it.
I have not had this experience at all with men. Every man that I have dated within the last couple of years has had a major issue with my success and the money that I make. And I'm not even trying to get on here and brag.
How did you flex on him? Did you flex on him?
What do you mean when I flex? When I roll up in my car, is that a flex?
Yeah, is she supposed to have that? She doesn't have what she has? Yeah.
Well, the thing is like I have a lot and I've worked really hard for it. So I'm not going to hide it.
You should.
I'm not hiding.
You should. Periods back there.
But when I flex, that doesn't mean I'm coming in, like walking in the date, throwing money on the, but I've had men be like,
you need to be with a confident man. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I think
that is so easier.
I think secure men are very hard to find these days.
You're right. There's a lot of lame ass niggas out here. I see them all the time. So it's true. But you know, if you were someone that's confident, you know, not trying to gas myself, but I'm a confident guy. I'm not really insecure about anything. I know I'm not perfect. I know I have flaws, but none of my flaws make me feel small. So in that, I don't care. Like if you make more money than me, I'm still happy.
What about,
with where
have you
I am.
Been with a woman who made more than you? How did you handle it? Okay, that's what
that's
I want to know.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's a good question.
I remember she did. I did, and she made way more money than me. And again, I had a good time. We took trips. It didn't stop me from working.
But dig deeper there though. I mean, yes and no, right? It didn't necessarily make you feel the type of way, but it would, I think you would say that it motivated you.
Sure.
It made you go harder because you didn't want to.
I know who we're talking about.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, relax. Yeah. Relax. Baby, relax. I love
Life
you.
Is
I
got to know. Relax.
She who should not be named, right?
Come on, man.
She who should not be named. But no,
the world's seeing this, right? Oh, shit.
It whether or not you felt less than, I agree with you there, but you felt something that provoked you to get your shit together, right?
Again, it motivated me. Like I said, if my woman's making more than me, if I gave the scenario about $20,000 or $300,000, I want to learn from her.
Yeah.
Like I'm big enough to say, okay, my woman is this businesswoman. She's smart. She has these ideas. Teach me, put me on game.
Oh, so, yeah, teach me.
Listen, if I don't make any money, she's making that type of money, I need to learn something.
I know, this is a later topic, but the teach me, the potential.
I mean, we got to teach each other.
We teach each other.
There are things that I know that you don't know, and I'm going to put you on game.
That's vice versa. Absolutely. And you,
Shannon, you're out here in the dating world. What has your experience been? You are a career, you're an attorney. You've been practicing for 15 plus years. What has your experience been like dating men? And is do you find the Ians who are excited about that, that you make more, or has it been difficult?
I mean, I'll be honest. I generally try to stick to men who make about what I make because it's just easier. You know, I'm not looking for someone to provide. I plan to work and be able to provide for myself forever, right? But I know there's a guy I dated. I'm an ambitious person, so I like mindset. And I know that there was a guy I dated who was like, I could make more, but I just don't want to work those many hours. There's other things I'm more interested in. That was unattractive to me because it's like if I come home from a long day of work and I'm just like, man, these are all the things I had to deal with. To be like, well, that's why they pay you the big bucks. Like, that's not attractive, you know, to me. Right. We don't have similar mindsets. But for me, like, it also depends on like what the person values. Like, I value security above all else. I want to reach out and touch my money. I want to be able to see it. I want to know. I have a perpetual fear of being broke. I'm not going to be. It's unreasonable. But that's why, like, I seek partners where I know that it's like, regardless of what he makes, I like a man who I can tell. It's like, if I were to lose my job and he had to go out there and, you know, wash cars, he would make sure we were taken care of. So I like hustlers. That's what I look for. Legal hustlers. Yeah. But, you know, it's someone like for me, I want someone who when I think provider, I mean someone who's going to get it done. Like
sure. Action emotional plan. Support.
Yeah, emotional support. And absolutely. Then also just someone who's like smart with their money, because also, you know, as an attorney, like I've met, you know, six figure dudes who are not wise with their money and they're living in a bunch of debt. So if the other thing is like older women will often say, if a man isn't generous, him making more doesn't really matter, right? Because it's like he's got all the money, but if he doesn't have a generous heart and he's not using it for the both of you, then what good is it doing you? Mm-hmm. You know?
But see, for me, my experience has, I understand that I'm in a very privileged position monetarily wise. And I don't expect my partner to make what I make. Like, I don't have the, I would like it, but I don't need it. You know, it would be nice, but I've met very few men who have been able to match me financially, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. They had the problem with it, not me. Hmm. And also, because I'm also in TV, they had issues with the company I kept as far as like circles I would be in or people that I met. Like, they'd be like, well, you could, you know, you could run into this person.
And I would take digs.
On the, you know, yeah. Like, you could run into the person at this party. And there was insecurity about that. I've literally met men. We've met, maybe they didn't know who I was. They, as soon as they go on my Instagram, they start acting funny. As soon as they see
those
a
guys
photo
are small,
with something.
Yeah,
yeah, but right. it's but I'm telling you, it's happened more often
so
than not.
Common.
It is very common. And if they come to my house, if they see I have two cars, it's like, oh, you got, you know, it's like they start, I've literally had men start talking about, oh, I don't have this kind of outfit to wear to a red carpet. I'm like, we ain't even been on a date. Who told you you need a red carpet outfit? Well,
so let's talk about why it's common. And let's do a little deconstruction by taking the Keke Palmer situation. Okay. So Keke Palmer, Darius Dalton, he says it's the outfit though you a mom, right? Says that out of line. When I saw a lot of the women's criticisms of him, a lot of them had to do with the fact that she takes care of him. So and we're lying to ourselves if
That's
we didn't
a
see
fact.
We're lying to ourselves if we didn't say, if we didn't read, you're sitting up here on Keke Palmer's internet using Keke Palmer's thing and saying that. Now, let's do this. Let's flip that dynamic. Let's say that he is a huge star and she is the mother of his children. He's grinding on Rihanna. If a man comes and says, hey, just to let you know, he takes care of you, so you should not be able to say anything about the way he comports himself, we're not going for that.
And let me
tell you why that. Let me tell you something about why everything that we're talking about is so common. It's because, like, men and women are socialized differently, and that socialization doesn't just exist with men; it exists with women. Y'all don't like a do nothing nigga. Y'all like you. But I'm telling you, hold on. Any situation, let's just take celebrity anecdotal stuff. Let's not even go to data. Any situation where a woman is taking care of a man, you're going to get Chris Juddit, you're going to get Kevin Federline, you're going to get Casper Smarty, you're going to get all of that. Famous men marry women who we don't know who they are all the time. The situation is there is a societal expectation from men, and men have that expectation of themselves. Right. And if we're being honest, women have that expectation of men.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the patriarchy that we talk about, if we are going to dismantle it, we have to be serious about dismantling it in an even keeled and very straightforward way. If every single person is valued for what they bring to a relationship because of who they are and how much they put into it, then we got to let the bus drivers off the hook. We got to let the librarians off the hook, and we got to do all of that. And as much as we say, the reason why those men a lot of times are bothered by you is because they think you are bothered by them. Is because they don't live in a society where it's okay to be with a woman that makes more money than you, where it's okay. You said that you had a guy, you're super ambitious. He wasn't ambitious. That wasn't like that was you didn't like that, right?
Right. But the thing is because, you know, mentioning Kiki's situation where people are saying, you know, she takes care of you. It's, you know, which I don't agree with. But the thing is if you're not providing. So there's an older woman that said to me once that it's like, you need, you know, intellectual engagement, physical and emotional. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess here we would talk about the fourth, which is financial. So it's like, if you're not providing financially, which is its own thing, what else are you bringing to the relationship? We don't know what else he's bringing to the relationship.
That's not true.
Saying.
That's not true.
What else is he in that example? So we
literally saw a video where she is walking into, like this, people don't understand, this changed in a couple of weeks. There was a video where she is walking into to do a late night show, and she's all draped in her gown, and he's behind her holding the baby.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Holding the baby and keeping the baby and doing all of that stuff while Kiki goes out to be Kiki. It was never explored what he brought to the relationship. He said something that he shouldn't have said in public. It was very, very stupid. Yeah, yeah. And I think that it was a reductionist attitude that he had about her. But the fact that what was said was this sort of financial domination of him, that he couldn't or shouldn't have said it. And now because he said that, that automatically means he does nothing for their relationship.
You attacked his
that manhood. Comes right. from the that comes from the construct that what he should be doing is taking care of her financially.
Can I tell you why it came up?
Sure.
It's not the fact that he was jealous that she was at Usher and she looked good. That's not what from the women that I've talked to, that's not what bothered us. I don't even think if he was jealous and had a conversation with her about it, we would have had a problem. We had a problem with the fact that he got on social media and made their personal situation, but that they should have worked out personally because couples go through dumb shit. Yeah. And if you're feeling a way about her, because let's not forget, Kiki has had the glow up of the century because she went from him posting pictures of her and she, you know, she was a lot, looked a lot different than she looks now. And she is embracing that. This is a lot deeper and women can see it. This has nothing to do with the fact that she's at Usher. It has everything to do with the fact that she is coming into her own as a different type of woman. Mm. And he is putting that business on social media. And because he wanted to make a fool of her, we made a fool of him.
So this is what I would say about this. Is what I'll say to that. I feel that. What I would say is the only retort I would have is that rappers that are with these ladies go on the internet and complain about these niggas all the time. Publicly, they do it all the time. Like I was there for 9 years. Like I've covered it. I've seen women that we never know, we've never heard of, we don't know who they are. Go, this dude is a shitty father. This dude is a shitty husband. This dude was out with this woman. This dude was doing this. I've seen a situation where there is a like a hip hop star that gets with another lady hip hop star, and his wife or his girl that's from back in the day. That has his kid is mad about it and it goes everywhere. Nobody comes and says, he's taking care of you, shut the fuck up. Like nobody does that. And the reason why is because it wouldn't make any sense because the way people look at it is that's the way that's supposed to go.
No, they say that. They say it all the time,
I
man.
Like, bro, no, or hold on. I don't hear women saying that. Men would say that because men would be like, oh, okay, boom. I don't hear women going, oh, girl, you got it going for yourself. Don't worry about what is it. But when it's on the other side.
But you're talking about men who were caught in circumstances, right? A lot of times when these women are blasting these men, it's because he was cheating. He was out.
Not all the time.
Well, the examples that you use were like, oh, he was.
No, no, no. What I'm saying.
But Kiki wasn't cheating. She wasn't doing anything.
He might be
she was
in a video. He might be up on somebody. Like, not all the time. Not all the time. But the only thing I'm saying is that, like I feel what everybody's saying, but there is a reality here. And I'm for destroying it all. I am for, hey, this is your person. This is your person. I am for, you meet somebody, whatever. But I do feel like sometimes we get a head of steam of righteousness. And I do it too. We get a head of steam of righteousness and we forget that when you said earlier, like we're told to be needed. It's not that we're told to be needed. We're told directly that if we're not needed, then we ain't shit.
Absolutely.
Like that the last thing you can be in life is a man that nobody can rely on. 100%. Is a ain't doing no do it, not doing it man, right? And so you bring that with you. And a lot of times you start to feel like when you do become that nigga, that validates every single way that you can act and everything that you can put somebody through.
And there's also an expectation that the man is going to make this money, historically speaking. And I think the guys that, you know, and I can't relate, but I think the guys that are fearful, right? The guys that you're dating, the guys that you guys are talking about, they waiting for Mad Day to come, right? They waiting in their brains, and they might be off base, but I think in their mind, they waiting for Mad Day to come.
What's Mad Day?
The day where she throws it back in his face.
No good.
Y'all like the day where she throws it back in his face.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that term.
That's what we call Louisiana. Exactly. My daddy used to say, "I boy." Now when Mad Day come, exactly. She gonna run. You know what I'm saying?
I thought everybody said
Mad
Day.
That's a real thing.
Mad Day could be Monday through Sunday.
Absolutely,
it could be any day.
Pick a day. And so I think that's what they're fearful of, right? And so it shows up in probably some weak ways, right? And some very insecure ways, but that's really what they're exhibiting. It's trauma, it's fear, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Rachel, you can introduce the next topic.
Okay. Interracial relationships.
Let's talk about it.
Anyways, we talked a little bit about this on some of the sexes, and I particularly spoke about a conversation that Shannon and I had. We talked about what appears to be a double standard when a black man dates a non-black woman versus when a black woman dates a non-black man. I see Nina nodding her head over here, so I'm going to you first. Do you think it's a double standard?
Yeah.
And do you think that if there is a double standard, do you think that it's warranted?
I think, again, we're in this really interesting place, right? Because when I was growing up, I only ever imagined myself with a black man. All my friends wanted to be with black men. Even my friends who weren't black wanted to be with black men. Like, black men were highly desired. Mm-hmm. And that's where I saw myself. My parents are still married. I was like, I'm going to give me a black man. And I will say that has changed for me. And what I have noticed is, so I date every race. I don't discriminate. Like, I I live in Los Angeles, and let me tell you, if you only date black men, you're not going nowhere. So you got to expand your horizons in Los Angeles. Sure. I can't speak on other places, but in Los Angeles, the dating culture is very different. So you have to expand your horizons if you want to actively date. And I will say, when I'm out with men who are not black, black men have a problem with it majority of the time. But they will be with friends who are with women of other races, and it's not a problem. But I will say, like, I've literally, I'm not even joking, I went to sushi with a white man. There was a black man next to us with a white woman, and he said something to me.
What did he
was
say?
He was like, really? And I was like,
what?
Really, to you, sir?
That was a joke. You didn't catch it.
He was not joking.
He was not joking. I am dead serious.
That might have been his manager or something like that.
But it was so hilarious and ironic that that happened. But, and I see it, you know, in social media, where I think there are, you know, they say, oh, well, if it's a black woman with a man who's of another race, we're being fetishized. But I don't feel like that fetish conversation comes up when it's black men dating other races. And I don't have a problem with it. What I have a problem with is just saying, like, if I was up here and I was like, I'm never dating black men again, that would be an issue. And I think a lot of times when we hear black men talking about dating other races, that's fine. But a lot of times when they talk about it, it's to bash black women.
Yes.
And that's the problem black women have. You don't have to bash us if you're seeking something else. Leave us out of it.
Yes.
I've never seriously dated a white girl. Or any other, well, I've dated a few other girls outside of different races, but I've never seriously dated a woman outside of being black. Like, I love black women. Black women is what I love the most. At the same time, my thoughts on these on this has changed a lot over the years with my evolution. My brother's married to a white girl. One of my best friends is married to a white girl as well. Well, they're not married, but they have a kid together and they're together. So I have no problem with it now. I mean, growing up, I'm like, man, you need a black man, you need to be a black woman, whatever, whatever. And because of definitely being from the South, with race being such, you know, the way it is, you know, you have these stigmas. But of course, being, you know, a mental globalist, essentially trying to expand that thought, I'm okay with, you know, I've learned that it's actually okay to be in interracial relationships. I think there's a lot of benefits there. At the same time, you have to understand what comes.
Benefits.
Well, what I'm saying is,
like it's Social Security.
No, what I'm saying is there are benefits. We know they got some benefits from them folks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, what I mean is there are, you know, in terms of benefits, there are some benefits. I'm not saying all the benefits.
Nah, nigga, what's the benefits?
You just mentioned in California, living in Los Angeles, that's an option. Otherwise, you have a lot smaller pickings to choose from. So there's a benefit in having more options to having a person, you know, and then these people look, we know white folks across the board, they have a lot of better careers, you making all this money. More likely, you may end up being with a white guy because of your financial status, maybe. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of successful black men as well. So my whole point in saying that is you expanding your dating pool. So you have more options. And sometimes I don't think it has anything to do with race specifically. I'm just saying you have more options in that regard. So, you know, I'm not anti-interracial relationship. I'm not.
But you sound like you used to be.
I was.
So if you saw a black woman that wasn't with a black man, why did it rub you the wrong way?
Okay.
I don't want
to.
I have a lot of business going on, so we want to be very careful how it works, some of these things. At the same time, you know, growing up, again, being from, and it's Louis, like Deion said. Now, but when you think about that across the board, I'm saying,
about your business, talking shit.
No, seriously, come on, dog. I'm saying, growing up in Louisiana, we were taught, my parents taught us, like, listen, be careful if you're dating these white girls because black boys would be found in the river. You know, this is a real thing. You know, if a white girl may say, oh, this guy touched me and didn't have anything to do with it. You may have a consensual relationship. These are the stigmas. These are things that we were taught. So you automatically have these walls up because we're from the South, because of slavery and just Jim Crow across the board.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by that. But I have evolved because, you know, a lot of the generations, we all have evolved. We're learning more. So now we're open to these things that we weren't open to before. I know my mom, my sister-in-law is white. I mean, and she's from Canada, so she like stone white. And, But she's Snow White. But we love her. We love her. And I know my mom, I know they were like asking my brother when he was in Canada with them for, we're like, man, you up there with all them white folks, you know what I'm saying? You're the only black guy up there. That's a real thing. We think the fear of something bad happening, not just, you know, of them, but obviously she comes from a great family and they've been a great addition to our family.
Let me say, look, I don't like the shit, right? So look, I'm just keeping it a buck, right? Keeping it 100.
You don't like it on either side, but man,
say on both
no,
sides.
No. It's nuance, right? It's nuance. I understand that. Look, believe me, I understand that love is love.
It was
love.
Gino at sushi, y'all. I didn't want to say nothing.
When you're saying this.
I know. I'm trying not to look at racial accent. I understand that love is love, right? So I get the concept that I could love anybody, right? Whatever the race, right? And still, I intentionally choose. So I'm going to be with a black woman no matter what. I intentionally choose to only date black women. And maybe they probably mixed with something else. I don't know. You know, you never know, right? But I intentionally choose to date black women, right? Because I want my kids to look up to this relationship and see something restorative about that, right? About the concept of love and the black family and all these different things, right? Now, with that being said, I'm a bit hypocritical there, because when I see a black woman with a white man,
it's a little different.
I can't help but think, we had to live through we lived through the stories of black women being taken, right? And that's all I can see. That's all I can see is black woman being taken by a white man. That's all I can see, right?
Taken from?
No. I'm talking about forcibly taken.
Sally Hemings.
Absolutely. I'm talking about non-consensual. And I understand that that's not happening.
So it's like triggering for you to see.
It's triggering, right?
For both of you.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
Let me say this. And on the flip side, you know, if it's a black man with a white woman, I look at it as reparations a little bit. Well, hey, man.
I appreciate you for being honest.
Do it for the culture.
You
know, do it for the culture.
Boy, you need to relax.
That is a common. Yeah. Rachel, well, you got to speak on your experience.
Yeah, Rachel, you got to talk. Rachel.
And I also want to note, because like I know that this has
like
come up.
Y'all didn't like that?
I was about to say, I also want to note this for Rachel, because I've known her for a very long time, that I have heard certain things come up and everything, because she's in an interracial relationship right now. But I've known Rachel for 20 years. I know all of her serious relationships.
And all of her serious relationships
are black men. So put some respect on her name. Stop trying to make assumptions.
We are not talking to Rachel.
And that's all I'm going to say. Don't make assumptions.
And I'm curious, because you guys feel a certain way, is a lot of people don't think that I am allowed to speak about black women and black men together because I'm in an interracial relationship. They think that I've lost the ability to be able to do that. It's not fair, or I don't know how to take up for black men and black women together. That's more of what she's saying.
Yes.
Hmm. What you mean? Hmm.
No. Yeah, you don't get to tell her.
As long as you feel safe, that's all I'm saying.
No, I
get that people think that.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe not the best
spokesman,
right? People
think that I've lost my blackness. And just to be clear, I wasn't taken. You know, I made a choice.
That's not what
she
I mean.
She picked him.
I picked him. She literally picked him out of a bunch of niggas.
Literally. A bunch of niggas.
No, but you're saying that's like a knee jerk. That's your knee jerk.
That's my knee jerk reaction. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Julius, Jalen, LaMarcus,
Brian.
You will.
None of them really.
So look, this is what I'll say. I don't give a fuck. I will say, like, for me, I just have this vision of my family, and the vision is of me and a black woman and some black ass kids watching Harlem Nights, like cracking up, right?
Not Harlem Nights.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like just the classics, right?
I think about
it would be like me, three beige motherfuckers, we watching American Idol.
You know what I mean? That's the kind of shit.
What would you be watching with them?
I mean, nah, it's good. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be watching like Meet the Fockers. I don't Meet the Fockers. Some shit like that.
That's a good movie.
Daddy, I want to vote for him. I'm just joking. Really, can I be honest with you? Really, I don't give up. I really don't care. I don't give a fuck. I am from the Deep South. We are from the Deep South. Yeah. And in the Deep South, there is just like this thing to where it's not even taboo. Because think about this when you think about the South. Think about the fact that culturally, there aren't as many differences as you think. Think about the fact that where I'm from in Louisiana, the culture is like ridiculously strong in terms of the music we listen to, the food that we eat, all of that stuff. That's pretty much shared in a lot of ways, right? We all watch football. We all eat the same food. We worship the same God. We just do all of these things at different places, right? We worship Jesus, different churches. We eat gumbo, different cookouts. We go to see Southern. They go to see LSU. Different. I go to see LSU too.
Go Tigers.
So the cultural differences that exist there, particularly in a state with such a rich culture, Louisiana, it's all race. It's all race. It's you are black. Therefore, this denotes this specific thing about you. That indicator being as strong as what it is just unrelentingly powerful. It informs a lot of the decisions you make in such a specific way. Like, it means something if you are a black dude and you are around nothing but white people. It's a choice. It's a thing. And it weighs on you. Now, you come out here and you look around and you go to one of these clubs in Hollywood and you'd be like, God damn, these people, they're getting along. Jesus Christ, it's Ty Dolla $ign. Come on, everybody go crazy. You know what I'm saying? And so it is different. But I will say this. I agree with you guys. I couldn't care less about this. The only time I do care about it is, and once again, I got to keep it all the way real, there is a movement of these niggas ain't shit. Let's try something else.
Wait, I don't date black women because that's fine. They're ghetto.
By the way,
that's the only time when I have a problem. Hold on.
I roundly denounce that. And here's the difference. When we're on this podcast, when a black man says that on this podcast, I'm on his motherfucking ass. Be it Fresh and Finkelstein or whoever those guys are, whoever it is, when a black man says, I don't fuck with black women, I date white women, I'm on his motherfucking ass.
1,000%. We don't care, by the way. We don't care if you don't date us. Good.
I know, but what I'm saying is,
apparently
they don't need us.
But what I'm saying is, when that happens, and you can be real, I'm on top of them, right?
We don't care.
When it happens on the other side, hear her out. And what I'm asking for, and so what I'm saying is, for me, it's like, okay, well, let's talk about the real shit that's going on there. I'm like, no, if it's not okay, and I think, just to be honest, sometimes this is where people maybe have an issue, Rach, and let me get down a little bit more. And like,
oh, man.
I'm doing the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
And sometimes they, like, if my significant other were white, if it was a white woman, and I was on the podcast, like defending somebody's ability to say, I'm not fucking with black chicks anymore, every black woman in this place would have an issue with that. And they would say, well, of course he thinks that. He got a white bitch in his bed.
But I've never said anything to the opposite.
She hasn't. But what has been done is, like, when there is a conversation about, because I bring these things to the podcast purposefully, when there is a conversation about somebody who has said, hey, like,
the grand exodus,
like, I'm over black men, boom 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 boom,
I don't defend that.
Yes, you have.
When did I defend that?
We put it, Donnie, where Donnie at? Like, we've like,
when if
we,
I
like Donnie,
is it a specific
booty
situation, or sweet I generally booty say right, I pause defend right women?
Relax. Donnie, I don't like that name.
Yeah, we're not co-signing on you.
Appreciate y'all.
We're not co-signing.
I mean, is it like a specific incident? Because I don't generally believe in anybody saying that they don't date their own race. What I do believe is being open to dating anybody. And I've always stood by that. And I've always said that I can't stand when people hide their significant others, and I cannot stand, which is a conversation that we've talked about, because mm-hmm. you see that in Hollywood with black men, and we can get into that conversation as well.
Ooh, I just envision Insecure too.
And I have a problem where people say they don't date their own race.
So this is what I'm saying. I don't care who anybody dates. I don't. If black women are so fed up or angry with black men that they want to try white guys, fine.
Well, why is it the assumption that we're fed up or angry?
I'll tell you why it's an assumption. First of all, I'm not making this shit up. I'm telling you exactly what I'm seeing said.
We are black women, by the way.
No. Oh, wait. I'm not telling you. We did this on the thing. Like, I took the comments. Remember the girl, and over the pandemic, she met the white dude, And she, it was a beautiful love story of a Nigerian lady and a white guy. We did the topic, right? And the only reason why we did the topic, I couldn't care less the fact that they are bringing a new Drake into the world. Like, that didn't bother me at all. What I cared about when I read those comments under there, all I saw was these niggas ain't shit. Been time to let them go. Blah, 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 blah. To me, we should not debase each other. If you want to date,
we agree.
If you want to date, I'm telling you.
Apparently,
we're talking in general. It's ignorance on, you know. Yeah, but I just think it's really difficult for Black men in general to deal with it, because I don't think we've ever had a time where it's been so prominent, where we, especially social media is very heavy right now. There are a lot of YouTube and TikTok interracial couples, and we see Serenas, and, you know, so I think it's never been as prominent. There haven't been as many public figures that have dated outside their race than now. I mean, I see the way people talk about Eve, and it's like whenever there's a Black woman associated with a white man, it's because of money. And, you know, it could never just be because this is the person that she fell in love with. But I think what the lack of understanding is since I've been young, it's been something that Black women have just been had to accept. That when a Black man gets educated and he gets a good job, he's probably not going to be with one of us. And that's something that we, as you guys were talking about what you're taught when you were young, what we're taught is when we talk about that need and that self-sufficiency, it's because when we were younger, it was like, well, we don't know if this is going to be, if we're in the same place, we're both going to college and we're both getting educated and we both get good jobs. You may not choose me. And so I've got to figure out how to be self-sufficient without you. Right.
It's a much smaller percentage of black men with black. I mean, it's much smaller percentage of black men because it was always so visible.
Right. But it was always so visible when it happened. And there would be a talk about O.J. Simpson or whoever else was there. But if you think about the Black men that you really looked up to, rest in peace, Harry Belafonte, my brother, you weren't one of them. But if you think about you either, Quincy, but if you think about the Black men that you really looked up to when you were a kid, if you think about the ones that were super prominent, most of them were with Black women. And today, this issue, and what I will cop to myself on is being triggered by this, because this is much less of a deal in actual people's homes around the country now than we we talk about it a lot. But if you just crunch numbers,
I don't know. I think you're in a relationship, so it's different for you. But
I'm talking about data.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, as a single Black woman who has these conversations, this is a conversation I have with a lot of other Black women often, is especially living in LA. When we literally just went bowling 2 weeks ago. Yep. And I had a conversation with a mutual friend of ours who was saying she didn't know, maybe it's time for her to start dating, not leave Black men, but she was like, maybe I should start. And I was like, what you been waiting on?
But that's LA though. Remember that the majority of us, we still live in the South.
Live in the South.
So a lot of times when we get to, and because LA, New York, and other places control the media, these conversations go to I don't know about Ian friends, but the people that I'm in, and his family and his brother and them, but the
Stonewhite.
He lived in L.A.
Stonewhite.
He lived in L.A. for 12 years.
But what I'm saying,
that's when it happened.
He came to L.A. That's true. In a place where there are a lot of Black people, I just don't think. I don't think this is as big of an issue around the country as we think.
Let me give you an example.
We got to move on.
Let's look around. Let me give you an example of what dating a white person in the South looks like, right? So quick story. Kicking it with this white girl, working together. And so we're on break. We walk to the corner store, right? Get a snack, right? As we're walking back, we encounter a Black woman, right? And instantly, you know it's an issue.
Hitting your stomach.
It's an issue, right? Yeah. You can see it on her face. If she was snarling, it was bad.
Nigga!
Right? And so she comes.
Whoa. We got to name it. She can't be snarling, man. We can't make her into a Rottweiler. She was upset. We got a name.
Problematic language.
Yeah, we got a name. She wasn't snarling. The sister was a little bit upset.
She was really upset. She was really upset, right?
They'll kick our fucking asses for that.
So here's what happened, right? So she's upset. She sees me. She sees us. And she comes barreling in between us, right? And so me as a man, right, I stop. I turn around because I'm going to protect the girl, right? You know, I'm with her. I'm standing here with her. I'm not going to let that ride, right? So I said, now I got it. I understood instantly, right? I was like, damn, I won't say this to this woman. But I said, excuse you. And she just turned around and mumbled something like, fuck you, you know, walked off, right?
Yo, white man's
and, and so look.
This
so,
is a bad story, Gino.
And so I turned to, No, listen to me. I turned to the girl who I'm with. And I asked her, is she okay? She's like, yeah. But I could tell that she's like, listen to, hear me out.
Gino!
Look.
Gino, wrap it up, bro.
I knew this was going to be the, no. Okay. Hear me out.
Did Tanisha scare you?
Gino, this story is not hitting the way
hear
you
me out. Hear me out.
What they say about you.
No.
Bro,
this Gino, gets this worse. This gets worse. She says, hold on.
I don't care what they say.
She says, yeah. She's like, well, a couple minutes later, she's like, she's lucky I didn't say what I want to say. In my brain, right? I'm like, what? Like what? Like, I'm thinking she's about to say, what, bitch? I'm like, what, bitch? She's like, no, you know. And I had no fucking clue because I forgot.
What'd you forget?
She said, no, you know, nigga.
No way.
This is one of the worst stories I've ever
heard. I swear to God.
Don't tell that story.
No. But here's the reason I tell that story.
Take that shit out.
Here's the reason I tell that story. I tell that story to say that it's always there. Dating white folks in the South, it's always there, right? And so there is this thought that I don't care if you're a black woman, a black man, that they gonna call you a nigga at some point because it's always there. And look, it's funny, but that's real shit. That is real. That's a real situation that happened.
I believe it was a real story because I don't think you could make that up.
I never heard about that one.
And so, you know, as you date, I mean, you're trying to rationalize, well, damn, you actually with a black man, right? And at the same time, you can't even see that I'm the same as this black woman. And so that's what dating outside your race in the South can feel like. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's powerful.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We were going to do the waiting to exhale rapid fire question, but we're running short on time. So and we want to get these questions answered. I'm sure y'all got some questions. We have like a time for maybe four or five, depending on how long they are and the responses. But
sure.
Got first questions. Raise a hand and I'll give you a mic. No questions.
Wait next, held it.
Let's no do rapid fire. Wait next.
Hold on. Wait a second. Questions. Oh, boy. I don't like that. We up here. I'm sweating. It's Amistad in this bitch and y'all ain't got no questions.
They just found out about Q&A. Ask them.
That story you're Gino told got everybody quiet.
Nobody wants to touch
Gino.
That.
I think y'all gotta have some questions about that story.
Can we get a reenactment?
Y'all gotta have some questions about that story. Yeah, ask Gino. So this is what we'll do.
I don't
every
have
single question will be about that story that Gino just told.
Move past it.
No. You okay? Do you really have a question?
It was literally about this story.
So yeah, now y'all have no questions for real?
Let's do one next time.
Okay.
We got one right here. Hold on.
Wait, what do we got?
I don't have a question. It's more of a comment about what we were talking about earlier. I do think that want is stronger than need because as long as I was wanting a woman, I was thinking I was looking for somebody to fix me. And it wasn't until I got comfortable with myself that I was able to get a woman that wanted me. So that's just kind of
goals.
All right.
There you go. Beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
Any comments? Any other comments?
Y'all ain't got nothing to comments or nothing? Nothing.
Y'all comments, no questions.
Yeah, I got a comment.
Yeah, comment. To
some of these, I like the way she said
it. I bet you did. Somebody about to get cussed.
I really enjoyed the forum. It's been really nice, but I totally disagree with the women on this panel.
Let's come on, go. Speak on it. Speak on it.
And it's unfortunate because I love my people. Like, I absolutely love my people. But I agree with a lot of what Van said, not to try and recap all of it, but we need Black men.
100.
We need men, period. And we need to not forget that. Okay, that is the most human thing about us. One of the things that turns me off the most is when a man tells me how independent and strong I am. We have been groomed as Black girls to accept or believe that we're so independent and so strong, basically telling us, get used to being alone. Something that Van said made me think of this too. When you said the part about people say they don't need, and this, that, and the other, and this absolutely that they do need. We all got a girlfriend at the house that don't sit, do nothing. I don't care how much money she makes. I don't care how much she travels. I don't care all the toys she buys. All she's talking about is she need a man. We all got that girlfriend. And it's just like, it's so unfortunate that we don't see that as women. For the men, I wish the men, especially with the ideology that you guys bring, would really try to inspire other men. I think it's unfortunate. I think our generation is the generation that's going to miss out, because it's going to take some time of young boys hearing men like you speak and share your ideology behind love and women and just companionship before they grow into it.
Absolutely.
We can't ignore how we've been groomed from slavery on up, you know.
Can I say something to that real quick?
I love it.
It's actually going to be, it's crazy. Because, like, you know, I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and I'm fucked up in all of the same ways that he's fucked up. Exact same ways. Exact same things. And the man was right there. He was right there the whole time. I could touch him the whole time. He took a great interest in my life. You know, always go about it the best way, but he never fixed himself. So I was raised broken in specific ways, right? And I'm at a point in my life where I get to have agency over who it is that I want to become. And I get to make a decision about whether or not I want to ruin a woman, whether or not I want to raise a fractured family, or whether or not I want to step up to the plate and try to do things differently. And I think sometimes, like for me, like growing up, a lot of the things that were put around me were made to make me feel more like a man. And I learned that from my father. So Black men, I can't speak to, you know, 25 million Black men, but like men, period, they have a real, real responsibility to fix themselves, to do the necessary work to make sure that the people that are around them are healthy and happy. Because if I love my father, love him, I love his memory. But, you know, my mom hasn't been with anyone since he passed away. She lives with my grandmother, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But like our family, there was no family. It detonated. And it was because really, there wasn't whatever was needed there for him to kind of put his family ahead of some other things in a way. So Black men, we got a lot of work to do. Sure. I feel like we all have to kind of do it together. You know what I mean?
And want need has become it's really semantics, you know? And I think it's just got a little nuance in the whole thing. I think we all are saying the same thing. And I think it's just, I think, again, it's it depends on where you're at, because, and that's for everybody. It depends on where, what you're looking for, where you're at. And that's why I was saying, consider the source when you're talking to that, because there are people who are in certain moments where they really do feel like they don't need anybody. And that will change, because we do need people as far as, like, you know, learning how to ask for things. I personally wasn't raised to not. My parents are still together. My mom was a very traditional woman. To this day, she still makes my dad his plate. Like,
the fuck to I'm this talking day. About.
Shout out to your mama. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm like, is she for real? She might be. My mom uses putting a cane now. Plate, like, right? Still makes his dad's plate.
I love it.
Every meal. So I've come from a very traditional household, but. You know, I think
the it food just, falling all off the side of the plate, or is
I get plates made. Too.
If it's neat,
I get
you know what I mean.
Your plates made.
Got to put love on the plate. I love that. Yeah,
she takes incredible care of me. One more question.
Okay. Hi. On that note, I am in an interracial relationship and have never made my man a plate. So I'm coming from a different perspective.
What kind of interracial? What flavor?
My partner is he's Japanese, Korean, and white.
So. Now, that's kind of different. You straight.
Is okay. All right, I'll take it. But I will. So, comment and question. The comment is that all Bell Hooks is all about love. Kept coming up for me listening to this conversation. And Van, you brought it up a couple times. With patriarchy is at the root of so much of this. Mm-hmm. Like, more than man, woman, it's patriarchy, which is white supremacy, capitalism. That's like getting us all mixed up. And I think we would all benefit from undoing that quite a bit. But my question was about, we talked a lot about relationships and women holding men accountable, men holding women accountable. I'm curious how and where you guys are having these conversations amongst friends. Like, what are your platonic relationships with women and men? How are these conversations coming up, and are they?
They are for me.
Yeah, we have these conversations regularly. Yeah. I think I don't know, but when I look at my friend group, like, we talk about these type of things all the time. And to me, it's all about leading by example. I think, like, to the plate reference, my wife makes my plates, but guess what? I also make her plates, you know, or if she makes my plate, I'll wash the dishes or whatever. It goes back and forth. So it's all about balance. You know, everyone is not, you know, in a situation of, you know, woman, you do this, you know, woman, you do that. I pay most of the bills because I make a pretty good living, but guess what? If I don't have it, she has it. So it's all about balance. So
when you have, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, my friends and I talk about this often as well. That's why I think it is important to have friends of the opposite sex to ask them. Like, I talk to my male friends often and tell them about my dates and how I, certain situations. And sometimes they're like, you're tripping. You know, like, I had a situation where, you know, the text that I sent, I showed it to my friend and he was like, let me explain to you the reasons, like, how a man would receive this. Right. Mm. Versus when I sent it to the group chat with, you know, my friends, they were like, no, that makes total sense, right? But it's like, I'm not trying to partner with my friends. They already know me as a person, right? And so I think it's important to understand, because it's like, we show, like, women are going to receive us and see us in a different way oftentimes than men will when you're, you know, seeking that dynamic. So I think that's a really good question. I actually, my friends and I talk about this often, that it's important to, and also friends that you don't agree with, you know, I won't name his name, but we talked about, like, a mutual friend that said, if after three dates you're not having sex, and he won't go on a date with you again. You know what I mean? And I was like, ooh, I'm disgusted by that. You're still my friend. You know what I mean? But it's like, oh, there's men that think this way, you know? And it's important to also, I think that when they're your friends, it's a safer space for the men to be off, more honest about their opinions, because they're not trying to, like, get with you, and you can get a better understanding of kind of the way that they're thinking.
I have these conversations. I'm like, very open with my girlfriends, and I've come into this place where I have kind of stopped talking in general with my girlfriends about, like, everybody else. And I really have just been started to focus on me and what I contribute and how I react, because it's just kind of all over the place. But what I about a year ago got a Black therapist, and it's a Black woman therapist, and it's completely changed my life and also my perspective, how I communicate. She's changed my life, for real. And so for me, I've decided to just start taking accountability for my actions. And I think, like, that has completely changed my perspective. But also, like, I just had a conversation with a girlfriend who was going through it with another girlfriend. And I was able to help her shift her perspective from, like, what this other person did to, like how she, you know, how she reacted. So I think like it's really important for us while we're talking about building and responsibilities that we really take ownership of ourself and how we're reacting, what we're putting into the world, and taking real cause and thought to what we are doing to contribute, because sometimes we are the toxic ones. And I think we have to be, you have to be honest with yourself about what you're contributing into, not only like your relationships with your friends and family and significant others, but how you're projecting that into the world as well. You know, a lot of us think it's innocuous to leave a funny comment on a social media platform, but that to me is still contributing to that into the universe. So I think those conversations are important to have.
Yeah, that's, give it up for that. That's incredibly well said. I said clap, niggas. But I'll say this to the point that you made a little bit earlier. And this is kind of the sick joke about all of this. And you guys will be okay if I speak just to the black people here, okay? None of this is us. Like, none of this is us. When I say that none of this is us, I mean where you were dropped on this earth and where you were migrated to after thousands of years, it became the place that your culture was born. And there were reasons why the cultural differences between people exist. You can legislate, you can negotiate those reasons or compare and contrast them as much as you like. The reality is our idea of the nuclear family, our idea of what makes up a society, our idea of what makes up a community, our idea of what makes like lasting relationships has all been informed by a Western European view. We were having this conversation. I remember the Black Lives Matter ladies and men, they had a mission statement on their website. People were pissed off about the mission statement because the mission statement said, essentially, it said, hey, this is what we believe in. And what we believe in is it takes an entire village to do this. And so because it takes an entire village to do this, we reject the idea of the nuclear family. We reject the idea of capitalism. We reject all of these things. And right away, people said Black Lives Matter doesn't like families. Right away, they said they are trying to shoot down, minimize black men. They're trying to take black men out of the household. They don't like the family unit. No, what they're saying is they envision a family where I'll take care of your kid while you go protest. They envision a family to where we would share the economic burden of things. And if we had cultures and communities that were more steeped in who we are and what we are and the oral and actual history of where we come from, then a lot of these conversations, we wouldn't be having them because we would understand that who makes the money in this situation is driven by a little family that becomes a tribe, that becomes a city, that becomes a country, that becomes something that can compete out in the world, and that capitalism is informing that, and Western European patriarchy is informing that, the way we dress, the way we move. Drake's painting his nails, everybody says Drake's gay. The reality is, if you understand that that is us, that Northern African black men painted their nails, that there's nothing about that that has anything to do with an idea of femininity other than the one that white men taught you, right? So all of this stuff, really, when we're negotiating it, we're losing sight of who we are anyway. My thing is, if we are going to redefine who we are, what makes a family, what makes a group of people that can support us, let's start on the even keel and let's burn it all down. Because I don't judge a black woman for what she wants to do with her life, a black man for what he wants to do with his life. I want strong, intentional, powerful black communities. And a lot of that is going to be unlearning as much as it is learning. So to your point, all of this, capitalism, patriarchy, misogynoir, all of it, it's steeped in all of it. And we had a good time talking about it and we'll take it back out. But I think at some point we got to get back to zero.
Thank you guys for the great questions and comments. And also, first off, give yourselves a hand clap for being here. We really appreciate this. We haven't had that many live audience opportunities, so this has been really fun. And we also just want to acknowledge the lack of LGBTQ plus perspective that we did not have in this conversation, which I just think means we need to have another summit where we do encompass those perspectives and even more. But this was just more of a general summit of the sexes, but it won't be the last. Thank you guys.
It wasn't that bad, lady.
And thank you. It was getting there. Thank you, Nina. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Gino.
Thank you, Van and Rachel, for this.
Thank you very much.
We didn't know we were walking.
Thank you guys for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.